I am talking to Mrs. Arvilla Jordan. She lives at 704 Ashford, Dieball, Texas. Today's date is December 10th, 1985, and my name is Marie Davis. Where were you born?
Augusta.
And where is Augusta?
It's 3 miles from Liberty Hill.
And that's in?
Houston County.
Houston County.
And okay. County seat is Crockett.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when were you born?
September the 14th, 1907.
Okay. What were your parents' names?
Arthur Holcomb and Annie Holcomb.
Okay. Whom did you marry?
Willis Jordan.
Okay. And what are your children's names?
Billy Holcomb Jordan.
Okay.
Jimmy Elizabeth, Patricia Ann, and Julia Fay.
Okay. How did you, tell me something about your grandparents. You seem to love them a whole lot.
Well, they were the parents of seven boys. One of them died when he was. I did, because I have my mother and daddy had a little girl 2 years younger than me that was premature, and it took so much of their time taking care of her until I stayed with my grandparents most of the time.
Okay. Your name is a different name. How come them to name you?
There is only two people that I know of. My great-grandmother dreamed this name in the night. She got up and lighted a candle and wrote the name down. And when her first granddaughter was born, she named her Arvilla. She was Arvilla Singletary. And I was the first great-granddaughter born into the family, and they named me Arvilla.
Okay.
After her.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody else is named that, I don't know. I've never heard of
mm-hmm.
it.
I haven't either. And
that's Arvilla.
Uh-huh.
And she dreamed that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it could be that she married somebody and moved to Port Arthur, but she died about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she's real old. She didn't know.
So, uh-huh.
In Rusk, in nursing home.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But I didn't know she was there. In fact, I was sick, and I don't think she would have known if I'd have gone over there
yes.
to see her.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew her when I was growing up.
You were telling me something about the day you were born.
My grandfather sold all the timber on his land to Southern Pine Lumber Company.
And you didn't know that you would be associated with Southern Pine Lumber Company for the most of your life.
I didn't know anything about it till I started to school. And the children told me that I was, one of my little friends said, "You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth." I said, "Oh, no." And she said, "Yes, don't you know your grandfather sold his timber to Southern Pine Lumber Company, and he got $50,000 for it. And we don't have that kind of money." And I couldn't mm-hmm. wait to get home, and I ran home and I asked my parents about it. Why did I have a silver spoon in my mouth? And they said, "You don't have a silver spoon in your mouth." And I told her who told me. And she said, "We're just people. Your granddaddy did that, not us."
Uh-huh.
And you tell uh-huh. her that you didn't have a silver spoon, and you still don't have it. Because uh-huh. they didn't let me know that it was, that he had more
yeah,
than
yeah.
other people.
Uh-huh.
They were, because see, he preached, and he built the first church there, and he furnished the lumber. The men furnished the land. No, I believe his uncle gave the land.
Mm-hmm.
And he furnished the lumber. And the people in the community done the work.
Mm-hmm.
First church.
Now, and what was your grandfather's name?
Henry Holcomb.
Henry Holcomb, mm-hmm. Okay. And what was your grandmother's name?
She was Amanda Singletary.
Okay, Amanda.
And
okay.
She was born in Mississippi.
Okay.
Vicksburg.
Uh-huh.
Vicksburg.
Okay.
And him and his
children. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I believe you said that Mr. Kenley visited them sometimes and spent the night with them.
Oh, he real often he came through. He'd be buying land.
That's right.
They checking on the timber.
Uh-huh.
That's what he did, you see, mm-hmm. to see that nobody was cutting the timber or it was being taken care of.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he'd go through Kennard and Ratcliffe through that way and then cut across because it isn't too far on over to where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's what he was doing, and mm-hmm. he'd spend the night with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really mean very much to me until they put this railroad track from Fastrell over there to our land.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the children, our neighbors, had never seen a loader or a skidder and work in the logging. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about it. And one Saturday afternoon, I had a friend visiting me. She was older. And we went down there where they were working. It must not have been Saturday. It must have been Monday through the week because we wouldn't have gone on Saturday. They weren't working on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, Willis was on this locomotive, and he, of course, I was almost 16 and him 19, I think, and so we were all walking around looking at everything, and he was backing the locomotive up because he'd come after the men mm-hmm. that worked in the woods. So I go over, he got off the train, came over and talked to us a little bit and asked me if I wanted to ride on the train. He was going to back it up, but he didn't tell me that. Did I want to see how the train looked, you see, on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this friend of mine, she was really my mother's stepsister, but she was not 4 or 5 years older than
mm-hmm.
me. And she said, "You can't do that." And I said, "I can't. I'll show you I can." So I go over and get up on in the locomotive. He started it up. He got up there, too. He was pretending to show it to me. So he backed off about, out of sight and came back. And she said, "I'm going to tell your mother." I said, "What are you going to tell her?" "About you riding with a strange man." I said, "No, he wasn't strange because he was going with a girl in Alto when I was in school." Mm-hmm. I had just got out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In Alto, I boarded over. I mean, I stayed with the uncle and aunt. But I didn't pay any attention to him. I liked my boyfriend better because his parents had died and left him a drugstore.
Oh, wow.
And that was a better place to hang out. And he hung mm-hmm. out at the other drugstore with a girl that her daddy owned.
Uh-huh.
The drugstore. So we ignored one another. We didn't let on. He just wasn't in my group.
Yeah.
Kids.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, we talked a little bit, and I got a letter from him sometime next week. And they were going to have a company picnic at Plain, and everybody was going down on a train. But he had a new car all trimmed in chrome and angel on the hood, everything else. And he asked me, did I want to invite my girlfriend to go? I left my step aunt out of this. And I said, yes. And he said, "Well, there's a young man that boards with us would like to go with her." So he came after me, and we drove over to Plain because it wasn't too far away from my home. It was in Houston County,
mm-hmm.
and they were coming down for a picnic. And after that, well, he was over there real often.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we went together. Well, I was 17, him 20 when we married. I didn't like much being 18 mm-hmm. and him 21.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had to ask Mama to go with us. We went to Russ to get our license. Melvin mm-hmm. Sessions was county clerk. And he said, Ervilia, he's on my relatives. He said, Ervilia, you're not old enough to get your license. And he asked Willis how old he was. He knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Willis too, but anyhow. So we had to go back. And my daddy was a line rider for Gulf Oil. And we had a telephone, it was a loudspeaker, just like a TV now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama said, well, I'm not going with you because your daddy isn't here. But when he calls in, he called in every 2 hours. He had to carry the telephone with him. He rode horseback. And so when he called in, she told him we wanted her to go to Grapeland, get our license. And I was supposed to go with them on vacation. And Willis begged me to not go and let's get married. And he was going to work in Papa's place. Mr. Durham was over the pastoral, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy's boss had borrowed Willis to work in Papa's place and then to go to Elkhart and work in all the pumpers place, mm-hmm. engineer, everybody's place for about 6 months of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we slipped off and went to Mama. Oh, yeah, and Papa called in finally, and my mother asked him, and he didn't say anything for, it seemed like 30 minutes, but it wasn't that long. It just me. And he said, well, if she's determined to get married and doesn't want to go to college, that's what I've always planned for, to go to college. If she doesn't want to go to college, well, tell her she's making her own bed. She can sleep in it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I slept in it 50 years, and I say almost 51 years.
Oh, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So,
yeah. Okay, and after y'all got married, did you move? Where did you move?
Well, we just boarded in Elkhart
uh-huh.
After we got married. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted, Willis wasn't happy. He didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And we left there, and of course, we could go back. Mr. Durham, he was just barred.
Mm-hmm.
And Willis was afraid he wouldn't get his job back if he didn't go on back.
Mm-hmm.
So a man from Chester came over, and Willis showed him how to do everything. He seems that he had worked in Lufkin or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They had a pump station there and one
yeah.
in Elkhart. And so we went home, and in the night we heard the telephone, and they said that him and Willis's boss there, is really Papa's boss, it had rained real hard, and the bridge had washed out, and they drove into it, and both of them were drowned.
Oh.
So, of course, I think my daddy was real disappointed in Willis for coming home, but then he was real happy that he didn't stay because
yeah, yeah.
he would have drowned him.
Mm-hmm.
The next summer, the same thing happened, only he didn't work in Papa's place. He went back up there and worked. Mr. Durham sent him, you know, work was getting kind of scarce.
Mm-hmm. Was this at Fastrel?
Fastrel.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Alcar's not too far from Fastrel.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were just 7 miles from Fastrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so he worked just, I think about a month that time. And he decided he wanted to go back to Mr. Durham. He liked Mr. Durham, had always been
mm-hmm.
so good to him. And
that's Mr. Paul Durham?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the best when it comes over the woods and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so we went back over there on Sunday, and he talked to Mr. Durham. He said, well, come on back, I need you. So we just went back to Elkhart, and some other man on the job took Willis's place, and he was painting. He was new, but he was going to learn it from bottom down. He went up on one of these high tanks and slipped and fell and broke his arms and legs, one leg. So that time, Willis said he wasn't going back up there to help out anymore. And that's the last I know of it. And we didn't leave there anymore. We stayed. But that was just borrowed time, not... He didn't quit. He was always...
Still working for the company.
He was, well, this Mr. Lachlan and Mr. Durham were real good friends.
They worked out a deal, I guess.
Because he was just talented when it came to machinery. And they liked it. And Mr. Durham did. And he was a loader man. And he was... When Bill was born in 1929... In October 29. Well, Willis was a loader man then. See, Mr. Ingram had broke a leg, I believe. He was a loader man. And Willis was making real good money.
Yeah.
And at that time, and then he drove the first, and he worked on Skidder too. He would, he could drag in those logs, but he didn't like that. He liked loader work. And I don't know how long he worked at the loader, but anyway, they decided to buy trucks, and Mr. Durham had left there, and Mr. Getzman was the foreman then. And he put Willis on the first truck they had there, and he drove 2 weeks, and they put him over to shops, truck shops. And then when they started to move Fastrel, which was the biggest mistake I think they've ever made.
Why do you think it was?
Well, honey, they sold the railroad track, and nobody ever knew what, I don't think anybody ever knew what went with the money. Sold for scrap. And it wasn't company people. I mean, I'm not going to say, I don't know. It went.
Okay.
Now, I haven't told anything about it.
Okay. You said, did y'all, you and Willis live in the hotel?
Oh, yes. We had a room there. We lived there. I worked, it was a two-story building, and there was 13 rooms upstairs, and there was from 2 to 5 beds in a room. And, I didn't like to get up early in the morning, and that was my job because Viney and Ms. Jordan and Richie would fix breakfast. And I cleaned up there, and I had a colored man that helped me because back then there was nothing that would kill bed bugs.
Yeah.
And they had men out of the country that would come in. And you could open their suitcase and be bed bugs. And it kept us busy. And this colored man...
What did you do for him? Did you wash
had gasoline.
Yeah, I mean gasoline.
Put gasoline in a number 3 wash tub. Put 5 gallons at a time in there. Put 2 or 3 bags of mothballs. And he would hold the mattresses up and we'd wash them off. You'd wash them around. And then they'd put... Be brown powder, all in that.
How often did you have to do that?
Once a week. And Ms. Jordan had 2 women that washed every Monday. If it was pretty weather, if you couldn't, well, she sent the laundry to the laundry in Palestine to have it done. And downstairs, I had this long, long kitchen with a lot of windows, a dining room with a lot of windows in it. And they had 2 long tables in there that would hold 12 men. Well, if anybody ate at the end, they could be 14, but 12 men anyway. 2 of those tables. And up at the end, they had a buffet, and on each side of the buffet was 2 tables that held 6 men each.
Well, then they could eat
like this.
They
the boarders.
Could feed a lot.
And in the in between the dining room and kitchen was a dish room, we called it. That's where the linen closet was in there. And there was this dish sink. It was a homemade thing, but was lined in tin. And it was about the size of this table. And it had a board up here to put the dishes up there to scald them. Now, we had hot water. We had running water.
Mm-hmm.
And scald the dishes and put them up there. And then when they were dried, and then there was a big cabinet up there to stack all the dishes. And, of course, it was thick boarding house dishes.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
It's real heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then at one side, well, that was on one side of this little room. On the other side, they had the closet to keep all the towels and sheets, all the linens in, that thing. And then a big refrigerator that they'd have to put about 100 pounds of ice in every morning.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Then you go on into the kitchen. When you walk into the kitchen, there was a long, long table and a pantry just across the other side of the door from there. And this huge cook stove, it must have been, I guess it's about this size.
About 5 feet long?
Yes, it was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And the largest bread pans I have ever seen, be two big bread pans going at one time. And
would they make cornbread and biscuit?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And light bread. We had to slice it thin, though.
Oh, yeah. And they made their own light bread?
No, they bought it from...
Bought it. But you still had
out
to slice
Palestine.
It.
They had a big commissary there, you know, and everything in it. And Mr. Hunter was there when I went there, and then it was somebody else, Mr. Sherwood something. I can't think.
Birch.
Birch.
Uh-huh.
He was there. Uh-huh. And Aiden Johnson worked there, and Cleve Hines, and Mr. Hunter.
Uh-huh. Do you remember Mr. Hunter's name, his first name?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I like Mr. Hunter. But his wife was Miss Tinkle's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been married before she married him. Mm-hmm. And her, Eleanor, lives in Rusk. She was a real good friend of mine. She was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Y'all lived in the boarding house for about 10 years?
Yeah, okay. 10 years. We moved out. Bill was born there.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy, Beth. Uh-huh. And she was 3 months old when we moved out.
Mm-hmm. And then where did you move?
We lived there in Fastrow.
Oh, in a house.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mr. Walkman died. He was store manager, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No, he worked in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there. And we had a four-bedroom four rooms with a big porch built on one side. And it had a shower on the back. And I let the principal, I don't know if his wife taught there,
mm-hmm.
the Thomases. And he drove the bus to Rusk and carried the high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they had two rooms in my house. And it had picket fence. It had sycamore trees. It had a big garden with a potato bed in it where you put your sweet potatoes every year.
Oh, uh-huh.
They had a smokehouse where you put, well, it was an outhouse,
mm-hmm.
but they called it a smokehouse. If you had hogs, you put them in there. Of course, we had a hog. We had cows and chickens and a chicken house and a cow pen, a storm cellar, and everything that went with it. And anybody that wanted all that, you see, all they had to do is just build it on. They just built four rooms to start with.
Oh, and then you could
add on. You add on what you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, but your daddy?
Called Irma.
And Ms. Jordan had the flu.
Okay, tell about what they were going to do.
Have a banquet.
Oh, all the men from...
All these places were coming in for a banquet.
From Texarkana and Dye
Ball. Dye Ball, Pine Land, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could but I can't think there would be 24 and 12 would be 36. And they added some tables. But anyway, Miss Jordan was real sick with the flu. And I had never planned a meal or anything. But she called me in the room and she said, "Herbelia, what kind of pie do you know how to make?" I said, "Lemon." And I was going to make the pies mm-hmm. for dessert. Viney took flu. Real sick, mm-hmm. both of them couldn't hold up their head. Mm-hmm. And I had the dishwasher, and that was her name was Kizzy, that's all I remember about her. And so I went back to Ms. Jordan's room, and she was going to have chicken instead of turkey because it was easier to get. So I asked her what else I must fix. She said, "Well, we've got to have a salad." I said, "Oh, I know how to make perfection salad." So that was easy mm-hmm. to make it, you know, use the gelatin and everything. And this colored woman, and of course you had to pick the hens and get them ready for all this, and you had to make all the cornbread. Mm-hmm. So I can't think if it's Horace Warner's mother. I believe it was Horace Warner's mother. Because Kizzy won too bright. But I believe it was Minnie Bell. And she made all the cornbread, and we saved all the light bread, and we got the chickens, and we got them all dressed and fixed. And I fixed string beans and cream potatoes. And I done all this by myself, and I had some girls to help me mm-hmm. fix the table. And we had white linen cloth to put on the table. And we had sent the curtains to the laundry and had them done. And it looked real pretty, although it was just whiteboard floor.
Yeah.
And the walls, it wasn't painted anything mm-hmm. on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I got so many compliments that night. I felt so smart. I felt like, oh, I've made it. I'm grown.
How old were you?
I think I was 19.
My goodness.
Because mm-hmm. it was before Bill was... I was mm-hmm. 22 when Bill was born. Mm-hmm. But
That was a lot for a 19-year-old, wasn't it?
Yes, but I'd been watching them.
Yeah.
And I'd always watched my mother, and Ms. Jordan was a good cook, so was Viney. Mm-hmm. And so we had the nicest meal, and we had the cranberry sauce, and... the giblet gravy and uh-huh. just everything, you know, fixed it real nice. And Mr. Durham told the men, I was staying kind of hid back. I stayed in the lobby most uh-huh. of the time after I got it all on. And he told the men about it, and he called me. And they all stood up and clapped, you know, and thanked me for fixing such a good meal.
Yeah.
Boy, did I feel great.
Oh, I guess so.
But the awful thing happened while I was there. I used to have nightmares real bad. And we first lived upstairs. And when Aura and Willis's sister and her husband moved out in a house of their own, well, I moved downstairs. And the bridge crew was out there working. And you didn't see very much of them. They'd come in, leave early and come mm-hmm. in late. And Charlie Bateman.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Bateman. Mm-hmm. And the other men were staying upstairs. And it was real deep sand around the hotel. And he had a nightmare and jumped out from upstairs and ran into the chicken wire. And he scratched himself all up. And then went back, had to go back through the lobby to get in. But the lights went off at 10 o'clock, didn't make no difference, and nobody saw him. Mm-hmm. He sneaked upstairs and went to bed.
My goodness.
But they all teased him about that.
I guess so.
Well, did you know I don't know whether it was the next night or the next one, if I didn't have a nightmare. And our bed was an iron bedstead with, you know, these little rods in it. I jumped out and knocked the screen off our window. We were sleeping there because it's so hot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked it off, and I had a nightmare and jumped out and run into the fence and had to go back and run into this, what kind of little rose? Pink, has a name.
Yeah.
It's a running rose.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sweetheart rose.
No,
something like
it's
that.
Something I can't think. Can't think right mm-hmm. now. But anyhow, if I didn't scratch myself all over, and I go
were
back.
Were you upstairs or downstairs?
I was downstairs. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, about as high, mm-hmm. 6 feet to jump.
But Charlie was upstairs?
Charlie was upstairs, but he jumped in a sand bed, and mm-hmm. it didn't hurt Charlie.
Yeah, like it
I
did
think
you.
He was stretching too
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back, and my door was locked, and I thought, how am I going to wake Willis up? And I didn't want him to tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
I want to get back in the bed. So we had one window by the door. And just happened we didn't lock that window. So I ease in that window. And I go to bed, and the next morning he gets up. The lights come on. He'd always get up when the lights would come on because I had to leave so early. And there I was, just bloody all over, just scratched. Mm. So he goes down to breakfast. He said, "Charlie, you and Avenia got the date mixed up." Of course, he was teasing
yeah.
Charlie.
Uh-huh.
And we had only been married a year, I guess, then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still real young.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come out. I stayed in the bed and pretended I was sick that day.
I guess so.